Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying together Yeshayahu Perek Zayin, the seventh perek. Like last perek, the seventh perek opens up with a narrative. Unlike the first couple prakim of Yeshayahu that were more generic in their visions of the prophet, here we're going to be following a specific event which takes place in the life of Yeshayahu. And we're told that Vayhi bimei Achaz, the story is going to take place in the times of Achaz, the king. We know that Yeshayahu prophesies during the time of four different kings of Yehuda. Achaz is the third of the four kings. And the Pasuk tells us that Achaz is the son of Yosam ben Uziyahu melech Yehuda, the king of Yosam ben Uziyahu. Why does it go back two generations? Meaning, we normally hear that a king is someone ben someone, and here it tells us, no, he is Achaz ben Yosam ben Uziyahu. Well, the reason why is because we need to understand who Achaz was. Achaz was a terrible and wicked king, and yet in these psukim here in Yeshayahu, we don't hear so much about his evil behavior. That we're told about in Malachim Perek Tesvav. The story is actually repeated three times in Tanakh. In Malachim Perek Tesvav, it's told with a focus on Achaz's evil behavior. Here it's focused on the miracles of Yeshayahu. And later on in Divrei Hayamim, we're going to hear the story also, but there the focus is going to be much more on the battle and the details of the battle that's going to be fought. So I'm going to try bring in the pieces from Malachim and Divrei Hayamim, but keeping us focused on this perek, Yeshayahu Perek Zayin. We know from Malachim that Achaz was a wicked man. And so here too, we're going to have hints to his wickedness. This is one of the hints. And Chazal tell us it's going to give us his lineage to emphasize that he is not saved on behalf of his own behavior, but rather because of the behavior or the actions of Uziyahu at the beginning of his life when Uziyahu was still righteous. Now, we had mentioned previously that the women of Yehuda are going to try and marry, they're going to beg men to marry them. And the Radak previously said the reason why was because the men were killed. There was such a strange male to female ratio because 120,000 men were killed by Ratzin. Here we're going to have some of the story of that battle. As we see in Pasuk Aleph, we're told that Ratzin Melech Aram, Ratzin the king of Aram, and Pekach ben Remaliahu, who was the king of Yisrael, got together to fight against Yerushalayim. And as I said, here we don't get details of that battle of the 120,000 people being killed and other details. That's going to be in Divrei Hayamim. But here we are told, Velo yachol lehilachem aleha. They couldn't overcome Yerushalayim. And not because Achaz was deserving, as we said, but because there was something in his chus avos, the merit of his forefathers, which protected him. Which also explains why we ended off last perek talking about the root of the tree, which even though the leaves will be destroyed, the root will remain, the root being the generations of good. So too here, we're going to hear about how Achaz himself is wicked, but he has good roots. He has a good tree trunk. He has good ancestors, and therefore he is going to be able to overcome this horrible battle here. Vayugad lebeis David lemor. And it was told to Beis David, to the house of David, saying, and Beis David here, Chazal say, that Achaz is referred to as Beis David, the house of David, and not his name, because he himself doesn't have the merit, like we keep saying. And he's told, Nacha Aram al Ephraim, that if Aram and Ephraim have joined forces together to try and conquer you, because they couldn't do it each alone, so they're going to try together. And Achaz's response is, Ve'yena levavo ulevav amok noah atze hayar mipnei ruach. He is terrified. His heart trembles, and the hearts of the nation, just like you might imagine trees trembling in a big wind. And so, Vayomer Hashem el Yeshayahu. Hashem approaches Yeshayahu and says, Tsei na likras Achaz. Go to greet Achaz. Ata usha'ar yashuv banecha. You, and here there's two ways of reading this. Either we could say, sha'ar yashuv means the people, those who remain who will return, or it could mean the name of his son. Maybe the name of his son is Sha'ar Yashuv. There will be people who remain who will return. And here we must stop and pause for a second and talk about Yeshayahu's children. We're going to have a couple prakim here that are going to talk about the strange names given to the sons of the prophet. And we must understand that the prophet sometimes represents a microcosm of what the nation is going through. Like later on, we'll see that Hosea marries a prostitute to kind of symbolize under the instruction of God, to symbolize the fact that the Jewish people have abandoned Hashem, who they are married to. And Yeshayahu's children here are going to be given names that are going to really symbolize the state of the Jewish people right now. And this name, Sha'ar Yashuv, really encompasses the message of Yeshayahu, which is Sha'ar. There's only going to be very few people remaining. There's going to be a catastrophe and people are going to die. Many people are going to die. But Yashuv, at the end, they will do teshuvah and they will return. Either they will return to Hashem or they return to the land of Israel. So it makes sense that he's coming. If he's going to come and give chizuk and hope to Achaz, and also to instruct him to do teshuvah, to repent, it makes sense that he's going to bring his son, who is named do teshuvah, with him, right? And he brings his son to go and speak to Achaz. Va'amarta elav, you should say to Achaz, hishamer v'hashket, stay still, be silent, al tirah, don't be afraid, ulevavech al yerach, and don't tremble, mishnei znavot ha'udim, Ha'ashenim ha'ele. It's a funny way of describing these two kings. These kings are like smoking stumps of wood. In other words, they're very scary. There's a lot of smoke, but underneath there actually isn't a fire. Bechari afritzin v'aram ben Remaliahu. Because of the anger, don't be scared of the anger of Ritzin and Aram and Pekach ben Remaliahu. And in contrast, that Barbanel says of the v'yichar af of Hashem. Be scared of Hashem's anger. Don't be scared of the human anger that you're seeing here. Why? Pasukei. Ya'an ki ya'at elecha aram ra'a Ephraim uben Remaliahu le'mor. Because they've wanted to hurt you, but they won't. Why will they not? Pasuk Zayin. Ko amar Hashem elokim. Because thus says Hashem. Lo takum v'lo tihyeh. Their plans, their wicked plans to destroy you will not come to fruition. Ki rosh aram dameshek v'rosh damesek Ritzin. Because Ritzin really should go back home to Damascus, to Damascus, where he is the head. Ubaod 65 shana, and at the end of 65 years, Yechat Ephraim Me'am. Ephraim will no longer be a people, they'll be cut down. And we know these 65 years, the commentaries tell us, are counted from the prophecy of Amos, that 65 years after Amos, the people will be exiled from the 10 tribes. These people are not a threat to you, Achaz. You will outlive both Aram and Ephraim. The Yosef Hashem daber el Achaz lemor, and Hashem continues to speak to Achaz through the prophet Yeshayahu, saying, Sha'al lecha ot me'im Hashem, ask for a sign from Hashem. Ha'emek she'ela, look deeply. O hagba'al lemala, or look up above you. And the Rashi says, look deeply, meaning ask for the dead to come alive, or look up and ask for a sign from heaven. Hashem says, genie moment, I want to prove to you that I'm going to take care of you. Ask for a sign. And Achaz says, lo ish'al v'lo enases Hashem. I will not ask for a sign. I'm not going to ask for any miracle from God. Why does Achaz say this? If we know that Achaz is a wicked person, then why would he say, no, I don't want to test God? And there are a couple of different ways of understanding this. Rashi says, what he's saying is, I don't want to be the cause of a Kiddush Hashem. If the sign will prove God's greatness, I am such a wicked person. I don't want God to become great through me. So don't give me a sign. Ibn Ezra says, I don't want a sign because I don't think God can perform miracles. I don't believe that God is great enough to. And the Abarbanel's reading, I think, is quite astounding. This, he says, is just Achaz trying to sound very frum. Achaz says, no, I don't want to question God. But deep inside of him, he does question God. And maybe we have this ourselves too. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will help you. I will do miracles for you. And our response is, no, we're too frum to ask for those things. And deep inside, we do have doubts and we do want clarity. Maybe we should speak out our questions as opposed to pretend that they aren't beneath the surface. Either way, Hashem turns to Achaz and says, oh, you don't want a sign? Well, too bad. I'm going to give you one anyway. He says, because I'm tired of your behavior. I'm tired of how you're treating God. And so, Pasuk Yudalet, Lachen Yiten Hashem Hu Lachem Ot. God is going to give you a sign. And the sign is, V'hinei ha'alma hara, a young girl will become pregnant with your yoledet ben, and she'll give birth to a child. V'karat shmo Immanuel. And the child's name will be Immanuel, which means Hashem will be with us. What is this referring to? So the Christians like to take this their direction and say it's a reference to their guy, but we don't understand it like that. And perhaps some say it's going to be a reference to Chizkiyahu, Achaz's son Chizkiyahu, who's going to bring salvation to the people. But chronologically, that doesn't really land up and work out for us. So most of the commentaries say this is a reference to another child of Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu's first child is called Sha'ar HaYashuv, They will be remainder, but they will do teshuva. This child is called Immanuel. God is still with us. This is going to be Yeshayahu's child. So what is the ot? What is the sign? Some people say the birth of the child itself is a sign because she's such a young child that she shouldn't be able to give birth and she does. Rashi, however, says it's the name Immanuel which is going to be the sign, because this woman is going to have prophecy and she will decide to call the child Immanuel of her own volition, which will be proof that there will be salvation. The Malbim says, no, it's actually not a miracle. It's just a symbolic gesture. When you have a child who has a name, anyone who knows families been through difficult times and they have a child and they name it a name of hope, that gives hope to people. That's a sign. It's not a miracle. It's just symbolism, a symbolism of hope, a symbolism of what could happen in the future. The Ibn Ezra says the sign is what's going to happen in the next pasuk. By the next pasuk, pasuk Tesvav says, "Chema udvash ye'achal." This child will eat butter and honey. Leda'ato, and in its own mind, it would ma'os bara. It'll despise bad ubocher batov and choose good. And says the Ibn Ezra, this idea of a baby eating honey and butter is unusual, and that's going to be the sign. And the symbolism here is going to be wealth, prosperity. Things will go well for the Jewish people. Pasuk Tesayin, ki b'terem yedah hanar mo'es b'ra b'cher batov, because even before this child is able to distinguish between good and bad, ta'azev ha'adama asher ata katz mipnei shnei malacheha, these two kings are going to be destroyed. And what will happen then? Once you have the sign, and once Hashem is going to save you, Pasuk Yudches v'haya b'yomahu, on that day, yishrok Hashem lezvuv asher b'katze ya'arei Mitzrayim, God will whistle out to the fly, which is out in Egypt, uladvoran, to the bee, which is in the land of Asher. This is a reference to the battle, which is going, the miraculous battle, which is going to take place when Asher invades Yerushalayim, and then a malach comes at night, an angel, and destroys the entire Assyrian army, saving the people of Yehuda during the days of Chizkiyahu. How do we see that in the Psukim? So this idea of God whistling out to our enemies, we saw already in Perek Hay, where it describes how Hashem will call out to them to come and attack us. And we know that before Asher conquered or attempted to conquer Yerushalayim, it conquered Mitzrayim. So in and amongst the battle of the Assyrian army were these Egyptian slaves, perhaps, or these Egyptian people who are coming out to attack the Jewish people. So this Assyrian army is coming, and in it are Egyptians, and they're coming like flies and bees. And they come and they encamp all over the surrounding cities of Yerushalayim. And Pasuk Chav tells us, Bayomahu, on that day, Immanuel, to prove that God is with us, what will happen? Yigalach Hashem. Hashem will shave off. But ta'ar haskira, either with a mighty razor or with a hired razor, meaning the with a messenger, maybe with an angel. Be'evre hanahar b'melech asher ve'et rosh. It'll shave off the hair of the king of Assyria. Sa'ar haraglayim, and the hair legs, v'gam hazakan tispen, also the beard. And the commentators explain to us, the beard is the king, this is the radak, the beard is the king, the head is the head of the army, and the legs are just the masses of the people. Hashem will chop down, just like a razor cuts off hair, so too the people will be cut down. The way the Malbim reads this, however, is that it's not a reference to the destruction of the Assyrian army, but rather it's going to be how the Assyrian people, in their threat to the Jewish people, will bring the people to do teshuva. So Hashem will chop down with his hired razor, which is the Assyrian army. He'll cut down the wicked people in the land of Israel. The head are the people who are happy to do averas publicly and in a revealed way. The hair on the legs is a private, closed place. And those are the people who sin to Hashem in a hidden way. And even, says the Malbim, the zakan, the beard, which represents the righteous people, will be affected. And the Assyrian people will come and cause havoc amongst the people of Yehuda and have them, as a result, do teshuva. He'll cut down the wickedness and bring about change. And yes, this will even affect the tzaddikim, because they're part of the cloud, part of the community. And then, according to most of the opinions, because the Assyrian army is fallen, or according to the Malbim, despite the threat of the Assyrian army, Pasuk Chaf Aleph tells us, Vahaya b'yomahu, on that day, Yichye ish eglat bakar ushtei tzon, a man will live on his cattle and his flock, his cow and his two sheep. Perhaps this is a reference to the wealth that's going to take place in the time. He's going to be exceptionally wealthy. V'haya me'rov asos chalav yachal chema. There will be such an abundance that instead of having milk, they will be able to just skim the fat off the milk and live on that. Ki chema udvash ye'achal. Because they will eat butter and honey. And that could be a reference to before. Again, this Immanuel symbolizing, or the way the Ibn Ezra reads it is because chema udvash ye'achal has now become true. The sign is not just that this boy will eat honey and butter, but the entire generation will eat honey and butter. The Perek ends with three psukim describing what the world would look like at the time. And it's very difficult to understand because they seem to actually be describing bad. They talk about how the land will be filled with thorns, again, shamir v'shayit, tiyeh b'kol ha'aretz, and how there's going to be shamir v'shayit, once again, there's going to be thorns. And pasuk chaf hei, the chol ha'harim b'ma'adar, ye'adrun lot yavot shama yirat shamir v'shayit. All the fields which have good produce, you won't go there because you're afraid of the thorns and thistles. So if these psukim are talking about this time of Immanuel where good will take place, then how do we understand the bad? So there's different mefarshim who read the psukim different ways. Where the Radak reads it is that it's an inverse. It means in place of the shamir v'shayit, you will have good. The way Rashi reads it is, pasuk hafei is saying that you'll be so busy learning Torah that the land will become desolate and it will become thorny and it'll be fine because you'll have your cow and your two sheep to eat and you'll be comfortable because you'll be sitting and learning Torah and won't need to work the land. If we remember the way the Malbim reads the psukim is it's talking about bad. It's talking about a time before Chizkiyahu, during the time of Ahaz, where people are doing bad. And so the Assyrian army comes and chops down the wicked people, and there will begin to be pain, starvation, suffering within Yerushalayim, exactly what Ahaz is afraid of. That's going to take place. Why? Because first we need to go through this purification process to eradicate the evil inside of Yerushalayim before we can be deserving of the time of Chizkiyahu when he can bring hope. And that's going to be the next perek. Thank you for learning with me today. Our learning today was sponsored L'Refua Shalema L'Yonina Sima Bas Daphne Hinda Jennifer Hayakara Shelano U'Lepitzu'ei Tzahal Achenu Hayakarim B'Toch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael Nina V'Chaim Shenka.